August 7th. And as we look into the Old Testament, today we'll be reading from the book of Ezra, chapter 4, verse 24, through chapter 6, verse 22. We'll see that about 15 years elapsed between chapters 4 and chapters 5. Now, during that time, God prepared two prophets to renew and strengthen the work. After all, God's word commenced the project, and so only God's word would continue it and complete it, the same way that God will complete what he begins in you and me. When God wants to get something done, he sends his servants with his word, for nothing but our unbelief can hinder the power of the word. Even the pagan king had to bow before the word of God. When God's word is with you and God's eye is upon you, listen, your work will prosper. Revival comes when God's people heed God's word and do what God tells them to do. Read Haggai's four sermons of encouragement and rebuke and see what true revival preaching is like. See if these messages don't speak to you. The project began with mingled joy and tears, as we shall see in our reading today, but it ended with all the people rejoicing. The traditional feast took on new joy because of what God had done for his people. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the Old Testament. August 7th, Ezra chapter 4, verse 24. Through chapter 6, verse 22, the work on the temple of God in Jerusalem had stopped, and it remained at a standstill until the second year of the reign of King Darius of Persia. At that time, the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, son of Iddo, prophesied in the name of the God of Israel to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem. Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, responded by beginning the task of rebuilding the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them and helped them. But Tattenai, governor of the province west of the Euphrates, and Shethar-Bozenai and their colleagues soon arrived in Jerusalem and asked, "Who gave you permission to rebuild this temple and restore this structure?" They also asked for a list of the names of all the people who were working on the temple. But because their God was watching over them, the leaders of the Jews were not prevented from building until a report was sent to Darius and he returned his decision. This is the letter that Tattenai, the governor, Shethar-Bozenai, and the other officials of the province west of the Euphrates River sent to King Darius. "Greetings to King Darius. We wish to inform you that we went to the construction site of the temple of the great God in the province of Judah. It is being rebuilt with specially prepared stones and timber is being laid in its walls. The work is going forward with great energy and success. We asked the leaders, 'Who gave you permission to rebuild this temple and restore this structure?' And we demanded their names so that we could tell you who the leaders were. This was their answer: 'We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and we are rebuilding the temple that was built here many years ago by a great king of Israel. But because our ancestors angered the God of heaven, he abandoned them to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, who destroyed this temple and exiled the people to Babylonia. However, King Cyrus of Babylon, during the first year of his reign, issued a decree that the temple of God should be rebuilt. King Cyrus returned the gold and silver utensils that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem and had placed in the temple of Babylon. These items were taken from that temple and delivered into the safekeeping of a man named Sheshbazzar, whom King Cyrus appointed as governor of Judah. The king instructed him to return the utensils to their place in Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple of God there as it had been before. So this Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundations of the temple of God in Jerusalem. The people have been working on it ever since, though it is not yet completed. So now, if it pleases the king, we request that you search in the royal archives of Babylon to discover whether King Cyrus ever issued a decree to rebuild God's temple in Jerusalem, and then let the king send us his decision in this matter." So King Darius issued orders that a search be made in the Babylonian archives, where treasures were stored. But it was at the fortress at Ecbatana in the province of Media that a scroll was found. This is what it said. Memorandum. In the first year of King Cyrus's reign, a decree was sent out concerning the temple of God at Jerusalem. It must be rebuilt on the site where Jews used to offer their sacrifices, retaining the original foundations. Its height will be 90 feet, and its width will be 90 feet. Every 3 layers of specially prepared stones will be topped by a layer of timber. All expenses will be paid by the royal treasury. And the gold and silver utensils, which were taken to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar from the temple of God in Jerusalem, will be taken back to Jerusalem and put into God's temple as they were before. So King Darius sent this message to Tattenai, governor of the province west of the Euphrates River, to Shethar-Bozenai, and to your colleagues and other officials west of the Euphrates. Stay away from there. Do not disturb the construction of the temple of God. Let it be rebuilt on its former site, and do not hinder the governor of Judah and the leaders of the Jews in their work. Moreover, I hereby decree that you are to help these leaders of the Jews as they rebuild this temple of God. You must pay the full construction costs without delay from my taxes collected in your province, so that the work will not be discontinued. Give the priests in Jerusalem whatever is needed in the way of young bulls, rams, and lambs for the burnt offerings presented to the God of heaven. And without fail, provide them with the wheat, salt, wine, and olive oil that they need each day. Then they will be able to offer acceptable sacrifices to the God of heaven and pray for me and my sons. Those who violate this decree in any way will have a beam pulled from their house. Then they will be tied to it and flogged, and their house will be reduced to a pile of rubble. May the God who has chosen the city of Jerusalem as the place to honor his name destroy any king or nation that violates this command and destroys this temple. I, Darius, have issued this decree. Let it be obeyed with all diligence. Tattenai, governor of the province west of the Euphrates River, and Shethar-Bozenai and their colleagues complied at once with the command of King Darius. So the Jewish leaders continued their work, and they were greatly encouraged by the preaching of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, son of Iddo. The temple was finally finished, as had been commanded by the God of Israel and decreed by Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, the kings of Persia. The temple was completed on March 12th, during the 6th year of King Darius's reign. The temple of God was then dedicated with great joy by the people of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the people who had returned from exile. During the dedication ceremony for the temple of God, 100 young bulls, 200 rams, and 400 lambs were sacrificed, and 12 male goats were presented as a sin offering for the 12 tribes of Israel. Then the priests and Levites were divided into their various divisions to serve at the temple of God in Jerusalem, following all the instructions recorded in the book of Moses. On April 21st, the returned exiles celebrated Passover. The priests and Levites had purified themselves and were ceremonially clean. So they slaughtered the Passover lamb for all the returned exiles, for the other priests, and for themselves. The Passover meal was eaten by the people of Israel who had returned from exile, and by the others in the land who had turned from their immoral customs to worship the Lord, the God of Israel. They ate the Passover meal and celebrated the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days. There was great joy throughout the land, because the Lord had changed the attitude of the king of Assyria toward them, so that he helped them to rebuild the temple of God, the God of Israel. August 7th. As we look into the New Testament for today's reading, we'll be narrating from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 23. We'll read about harvesting. You know, everybody has a place in the Lord's harvest, and all are doing His work. There must be no competing or comparing, for the Lord alone recognizes the work and gives the reward. It makes no difference who the servant is, so long as Jesus Christ is Lord of the harvest. And we'll read about building. Paul writes about the local church and the materials we put into it as we minister. Substituting man's wisdom for God's word means building with perishable materials that will burn up at the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll read about glorifying God. Warren Wiersbe, in his great little book, Chapter by Chapter Bible Commentary, writes that because the Corinthian believers gloried in human teachers and human wisdom, they robbed God of the glory that rightly belonged to Him. Let no one boast in men is a command, not a suggestion. And it was Vance Havner who said, if you lack knowledge, go to school. If you lack wisdom, get on your knees. Knowledge is not wisdom. Wisdom is the proper use of knowledge. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the New Testament. August 7th, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 23. Who is Apollos, and who is Paul, that we should be the cause of such quarrels? Why, we're only servants. Through us God caused you to believe. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. My job was to plant the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it. But it was God, not we, who made it grow. The ones who do the planting or watering aren't important, but God is important because He is the one who makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work as a team with the same purpose. Yet they will be rewarded individually according to their own hard work. We work together as partners who belong to God. You are God's field, God's building, not ours. Because of God's special favor to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any other foundation than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Now anyone who builds on that foundation may use gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But there is going to come a time of testing at the judgment day to see what kind of work each builder has done. Everyone's work will be put through the fire to see whether or not it keeps its value. If the work survives the fire, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builders themselves will be saved, but like someone escaping through a wall of flames. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will bring ruin upon anyone who ruins this temple, for God's temple is holy, and you Christians are that temple. Stop fooling yourselves. If you think you are wise by this world's standards, you will have to become a fool so you can become wise by God's standards. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God, as the Scriptures say. God catches those who think they are wise in their own cleverness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are worthless. So don't take pride in following a particular leader. Everything belongs to you, Paul and Apollos and Peter, the whole world and life and death, the present and the future. Everything belongs to you. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Today we're reading Psalm 29, verses 1 through 11. We'll read about the praises before the storm. David called on the angels in heaven to ascribe praise to God. You never know when a storm is coming, so be sure you're worshiping Him and giving Him all the glory. The greatest beauty of all is the beauty of holiness, and it comes from worshiping the Lord. There's power in the storm. First, the thunder rolled over the Mediterranean Sea. Then the storm broke and moved across the land. Seven times the storm is called the voice of the Lord. What power there is in a storm! Even the angels shout glory as they watch it. And then there's peace after the storm. David may have seen a rainbow and remembered God's promise given after the flood. God set as king at the flood, and he is still king. No storm is greater than God. If you trust him, the storm will bring glory to God. If life is stormy just now, worship him and wait on him. The storm will pass, and he will give you peace. Psalm 29, verses 1 through 11, a psalm of David. Give honor to the Lord, you angels. Give honor to the Lord for his glory and strength. Give honor to the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon's mountains skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon to leap like a young bull. The voice of the Lord strikes with lightning bolts. The voice of the Lord makes the desert quake. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists mighty oaks and strips the forests bare. In his temple everyone shouts, glory! The Lord rules over the floodwaters. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. Proverbs 20, verses 26 and 27. A wise king finds the wicked, lays them out like wheat, then runs the crushing wheel over them. The Lord's searchlight penetrates the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive.